the rich brother or sister in Christ has been given an unusual responsibility to steward the resources entrusted to them from God towards the kingdom of God. And this makes so much sense, right? Because as Jesus explains, where your treasure is, there will be your heart also, right? If you want to find your heart, find out what you treasure.
Listeners, you are back with us today at Live in the Light in our third message in the series, going verse by verse through the book of James. James gets to our hearts, talking to issues and struggles that we face every single day. Right, Robbie?
It's so true. I mean, I'm so glad we're in this series too, Shannon. James, again, so practical, so powerful. James being the half-brother of Jesus. And you can tell he was taking some good notes, man, from what Jesus was teaching, because so much of what he says parallels so strongly with Jesus' specific teachings as well. And today's no exception. I mean, James is not afraid to hit it hard. I love that about him. I love that he goes right after our hearts and right after what matters most. And today now, he's dealing with those who are rich and those who are poor, and specifically the spiritual reality of those who live solely for earthly riches and the spiritual reality of those that might be poor on earth but rich with Jesus Christ. It is hard-hitting. It's going to come right at us. Our Western world, man, we are obsessed with the idolatry of the earth. And the Lord knows that. The Holy Spirit knows that. And James knows that, filled with the Holy Spirit. So he's going to be pretty convicting today. But personally, I love messages like this because these are the ones we need to hear. Shannon, we need to be able to see our idols for what they are, repent of them, and get back on track with the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, this is what James is being used so powerfully to do. As always, listening to Live in the Light, we love, love, love to hear from you. Take some time. Would you encourage us as you are encouraged by the Lord in His Word? And that's why we're here, to see lives changed for God's glory. So James chapter 1, Shannon, again, neat message, powerful message, hard message, needed message in our day. Excited for today and God's Word.
So here we are again. James gets to the issue in a way that is so valuable to our lives even today. Let's dive back into the book of James together. Here's our teacher, Pastor Robbie.
Could you open your Bibles to James chapter 1? That would be so good. James chapter 1. If you don't have a Bible, there's one in front of you in the chair probably. If you look at the table of contents, you can find your way near the end of the Bible to the right in the book of James. I'm just going to go through each verse that's in front of us. We're in the third week of our series on James. Again, the letter written by James, the half-brother of Jesus, and he's writing to an audience of believers that are dispersed among, again, the world. And so just a reminder that James is often called the Proverbs of the New Testament. It's a book of wisdom. It's a powerful and practical letter that really cuts to the chase. We love that about James and how he writes by the Holy Spirit, just gets right to the heart of the matter, and he does that again today. So James has not disappointed us in that sense so far. In week number one, like verse two, he launched us into the reality that we can find joy within trials. Now, if you remember, how is it that we can find joy within trials? Well, we learned that God allows trials into the lives of his children because with trials come testing. And when something is tested, they produce steadfastness or perseverance. And when we have steadfastness, then we're prepared for the glory that is to come. So if we want to make it, we need to be steadfast. If we want to be steadfast, we need testing. If we're going to be tested, that's the purpose of trials. So trials are essential for every person who actually belongs to Jesus Christ. Then week number two last week, we had the call for wisdom. And we heard here that true wisdom comes from God alone. Wisdom is not knowledge. Knowledge is knowing stuff. Wisdom is how to rightly apply that knowledge. And we learn this too, for those who are given the wisdom of God from his word and from God himself, they are at a massive advantage in this thing called life. Compared to the person who doesn't have the wisdom of God, and there's a huge separation and advantage of having God's wisdom to see all of life from his point of view. And that's a big part of what we do again today. That's a big part, again, of the book of James. So he goes from the reality of trials and the importance of wisdom. And then he takes us to this today. Our sermon title is this, The Spiritual Reality of the Rich and Poor. Now that should get your attention. The spiritual reality of the rich and poor, because it's so relevant again to our day. Now, as we study the Bible, we're always trying to get the context. And it's very possible that poverty might have been one of the greatest trials facing James's readers or his audience. Poverty was certainly a reality for many people who'd be picking up this letter to receive encouragement. From the book of James as a whole as well, we also know there were many wealthy people that were reading this letter too. Otherwise, he would not address them the way he does, even as he does today. Okay, so as we come to verses 9 through 11 in James chapter 1, we're seeing the reality of trials, the importance of wisdom. There's a warning against double-mindedness. Remember, double-mindedness, don't be double-minded. Like you say one thing, you are one thing, let's say Sunday, and then you're a totally different person the rest of the week. That's an inconsistency. You're double-minded. You're speaking out of both sides of your mouth. You change whatever setting you're in. That's a lack of integrity. God really has nothing to do with people who are pretending or playing the game. So we're warned against that. And how do all of these now relate to the issues of poverty and wealth? They apply quite significantly, actually. And so what we're seeing is there's a block, a kind of built being on top of one another as we come here, trials, wisdom, and now, how does this apply to the rich and the poor? How do these principles and truths apply to those who are poor and rich? And James has a lot to say about that, so I'm looking forward to another great day in the book of James here. So James chapter 1, let's read our passage and we'll start to jump in. James 1 verse 9 says this, "Let the lowly brother boast in his exaltation and the rich in his humiliation," very interesting, "because like a flower of the grass, he or she will pass away. For the sun rises with its scorching heat and withers the grass, its flower falls, and its beauty perishes." Now, notice that imagery, and here's the point. "So also will the rich man or woman fade away in the midst of their pursuits." Interesting text again today. I want to remind you, I'm just going through the Bible verse by verse. Whatever comes, we talk about. And so that's what's in front of us here today as well. So for structure and clarity of our passage today, we see two main simple yet also deep points or points with depth. Here's the first. Number one is this. The lowly are to boast in their exaltation, right from the text. The lowly are to boast in their exaltation. That's what verse 9 says. Now, just to kind of flesh this out more, here are two other translations from the original on the screen for you, the new NIV and the New Living Translation, verse 9. They say it this way. Sometimes seeing different translations, again, from the original, just help flesh out and help us to picture what's being said. NIV says, "Believers in humble circumstances ought to take pride in their high position." Interesting. The New Living Translation says it this way, "Believers who are poor have something to boast about, for God has honored them." And again, the English Standard Version, my version says this, "Let the lowly brother boast in his exaltation." So what's happening here? Very, very interesting. What's happening here in verse 9? What's happening here, this is a very powerful gospel moment. The gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, the reason he came and lived and died and rose from the dead. The news that we are to apply to our lives that we might be changed forever. So evidently, for James's audience, for those who are poor brothers and sisters in Christ, there was a great temptation, physically poor, that just making sure we're clear there. There's a great temptation for them to be discouraged, to compare themselves with those who had more, and a great temptation towards humiliation because they were physically poor. They did not have a lot of earthly means. So from a worldly and temporal perspective, those with wealth seem to have a great advantage over those who were earthly poor or poor in earthly terms. But what James does here is he applies, listen, the spiritual reality of the gospel and obliterates the notion that the earthly rich have an advantage over the earthly poor. See, in the gospel, there is no advantage of what you have on earth and what you don't have on earth. Again, if you look at verse 9, let the lowly brother boast in his exaltation. Now, why is the lowly brother to boast, to glory, to brag, or rejoice in their exaltation? Here's why. Because of their spiritual reality in Jesus Christ. So James is encouraging his readers who are physically poor by reminding them of their powerful spiritual reality of belonging to Jesus Christ. See, what the Bible teaches us, when someone is genuinely saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, regardless of their economic situation, regardless of how much they have or don't have, they instantaneously, by faith in Christ, become a co-heir of Jesus Christ. Literally, the person who belongs to Jesus Christ and receives forgiveness of sins, they receive the same inheritance that Jesus Christ receives from his Father in heaven. It is absolutely astounding, the riches found in the gospel that lead to every spiritual blessing and everlasting life. Ephesians 1 tells us that if you are saved in Christ, you are blessed with all spiritual blessings. It goes on, Ephesians 1, to say, if you are alive in Jesus Christ, that you may know the hope to which you are called, and you may be able to see and understand the eternal, glorious riches that are found in Jesus Christ, the Lord. You see, so let the lowly brother, the poor brother or sister, boast or glory in the fact that they are co-heirs of Jesus Christ and have received an eternal inheritance of infinite value and infinite worth. So James wants his readers to also see this. He's reminding them bank accounts have very little meaning to God. And make sure you know this, bank accounts have zero meaning in eternity. Zero. They have no value to God whatsoever in the life to come. So James is reminding the people, again, belonging to the true church by grace through faith, that the poor have no spiritual disadvantages because they are poor on earth. And he's also reminding us that the rich have no spiritual advantages because they have more money than those around them. And by the way, I mean, this is such an important, powerful moment of wisdom, right? You are living right now. You are here today. Again, just this truth here is such a moment of wisdom to believe in the gospel and understand if I have money, that gives me no spiritual advantage before God. If I don't have money, that gives me no spiritual disadvantage before God. It's a powerful way to live. And it's the reality of the gospel taking root within our lives. What am I actually living for? What do I actually value? Is my value system according to God's, or is my value system according to the world's? And this is what James is getting at too today. So the imperative here, the command here, is for the lowly, poor believer to boast or glory in their exaltation. That's so powerful to do that, isn't it? When you can have nothing, but you can glory or boast in your position in Christ because you have been granted everlasting life. So the poor brother here, those who have nothing, they can value, they rejoice because they value what God values. They boast that they are citizens of heaven, Philippians 3. They have received citizenship of heaven for everlasting life. They live, they long for the appearing of Jesus Christ when he returns and gathers them again to his own. They glory that they are sons and daughters of the King. They rejoice and glory and boast that no one and nothing will ever be able to take them or remove them from their status of children of God and again to live with him forever. This is the power of applying the gospel to those who believe by faith. You understand the true value of now and the value of what is to come. Again, James has a lot to say about this. He's gonna come up this theme several times as we go through this book over the next couple of months. Another place, if you look at James 2, verse 5, on the screen for you too, if you can't turn the page once over, but it says there, listen, he says, listen, my beloved brothers, has not God chosen those who are poor in the world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he has promised to those who love him? So again, wow, look what he's saying here. Has not God chosen those who are poor in this world to be rich in faith? And when you're rich in faith, then you're heirs of the kingdom of the Son of God, Jesus Christ. So wisdom right now says this. Wisdom, biblical wisdom says this. I would rather be poor in the world and rich in faith a billion times over than the opposite. Wisdom says in the economy of God, I would rather be, again, poor in this world and rich in faith a billion times over as opposed to being rich in this world and poor in faith. Because faith leads to everlasting life and earthly treasure will not last beyond this lifetime. So wisdom also understands this. Wisdom knows the moment Jesus Christ appears, my net worth goes to zero. Wisdom understands that. The moment Jesus Christ returns, he could care less about how much money you have here on earth. The only thing that matters is if you've believed on him by faith for the forgiveness of sins that you might receive everlasting life. So again, wisdom knows this. Loved ones, there's a lot of people represented here in this room right now. And wisdom knows Christ will return any moment now. Any moment he'll return. We're certain of that. And the moment he does, my net worth goes to zero. Just like that, just like that. All the things people have worked for, all the business, all this, all that goes to zero. And the only thing that matters is my value, my treasure, my inheritance, my worth in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And this is a story that's gonna be told again and again and again. It is so backwards from how our world lives. I came across this story several months ago. Pastor Jeremy Treat, he was visiting Kibera, an extremely poor area of Nairobi, Kenya. And it touched my heart so much to save it from my files. I'm excited to use it today. He says he visited there. He walked into this area, this extremely poor area outside of Nairobi, Kenya, and following a stream of open sewage that flowed right by shelters made of pieces of wood and dried mud. He saw many children playing in the mud right by the sewage with no clothes on. He went by a 12-year-old girl who his guide said was a prostitute. As he was starting to feel very overwhelmed, he heard the first sounds of the destination that he was headed towards. As the noise grew in volume, he recognized it as human voices. And finally, he came to the building, which was little more than a shack, but inside there was a church service. About 70 people were singing at the top of their lungs, praising God in Swahili, and their arms were raised in worship, tears flowing, smiles given, prayer, praise. He said, what could have possibly given people living in such darkness to declare such hope and even joy? He wrote, in the impoverished slum, I knew that the kingdom of God had come, not yet in the fullness of God's future promise, but it was there in the midst of the most horrific suffering and brokenness I have ever seen that I saw such hope and joy. Throughout the day, I heard stories of how these people loved and served others in their community. He concluded, what I saw in that little shack was a glimpse of the same power that will one day renew all of creation. In a word, it was hope. And it was a group of people who were boasting in their exaltation that their lives were not identified with the earthly treasures they have, but their lives were identified in their power and wealth in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Arms were raised and tears were flowing because they recognized in the world's terms they had nothing, but in God's terms they had everything. They were infinitely wealthy because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what James is going for today. Let the lowly brother boast and glory in his exaltation, in his true wealth found in Jesus Christ. So as we tie the issues of James 1 together here today, notice there's a trial of hardship in the initial verses. God wants to give wisdom. And when we get the trial and the wisdom together, now we are to boast in our spiritual reality in Jesus Christ. Again, very, very important part of wisdom. See, our world has it so backwards. Our world says, live for now, get as much money as you can, build your little kingdoms here on earth, and then whatever happens in the end. Jesus Christ is the upside down kingdom. And that's why we say around here so often, if you are saved in Jesus Christ, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ and your sins are forgiven by faith in him, then today is another very, very good day. And why is today another very, very good day? Well, because in Jesus Christ, you are saved, you are set free. All your sins, past, present, and future, they have been covered. You have been declared innocent. You cannot lose. Jesus Christ will return. He's coming for you soon. You are a child of God. You belong again to the bread of life. You are a co-heir of Jesus Christ in the inheritance of the saints for all time. Again, you will live forever. So no matter your circumstances, no matter what happens today, no matter what goes right or goes wrong in our eyes, if that's your reality in Jesus Christ, you can declare with absolute faith, boldness, joy, and love. Today is yet another very good day. Amen, church? That's our reality. That's what the gospel does. The poorest brother and sister on earth can boast and glory that they are infinitely wealthy and rich in Jesus Christ. But then we move, hallelujah is right, bro. And then number two, though, is this, okay? Number two is, let the rich boast in their humiliation. Very interesting. Okay, so look at verse 10. And the rich in his humiliation, because like a flower of the grass, he will pass away. For the sun rises with its scorching heat and withers the grass, its flower falls and its beauty perishes. So also will the rich man fade away in the midst of his pursuits. So again, I want to put verse 10 up. I want the NIV and the NLT to be there for you so you can see, just comparing again, different translations, kind of fleshing out the meaning. NIV says, but the rich should take pride in their humiliation, interesting, since they will pass away like a wild flower. New Living Translation says, and those who are rich should boast that God has humbled them. They will fade away like a little flower in the field. Again, very, very interesting. So some commentators, they suggest that the rich person here in verse 10 is an unbeliever, someone who doesn't believe in Jesus Christ, unsaved. And the reason they say that is the command to boast, they say in verse 10, is ironic. It's not to be taken literally. They also say that the word brother is not attached to the rich person here. However, many other commentators, a strong pushback, and we're on that page as well, strong pushback would be there's no sense of irony in the original Greek when it comes here to the poor as compared to the rich. Furthermore, the command to boast then would change its meaning from verse 9 and verse 10. I mean, we'd say that's not what's happening in the original. Boast in verse 9 means the same as boast in verse 10. And the word brother here contextually attaches to the rich here as well from verse 9 to verse 10. So all that to say this, we believe what's happening in verses 10 and 11 and verse 9, these are strong exhortations to the poor and wealthy believer in Jesus Christ. Speaking to the believers in the church, both the poor and the rich. So let's make sense of this then, okay? So the command here, let the rich boast glory in their humiliation. That's just strange, isn't it? You're like, it seems so counterintuitive. Why would the rich boast in their humiliation? The rich Christian has great reason to boast in their humiliation. Why? As Doug Moo said this, he says, because, listen carefully, the temporal world is an undependable prop. That is why. Why would the rich boast in that which is an undependable prop? Rather, the rich are to boast in the true treasure only found in Jesus Christ. So this is why the Bible gives a plethora of warnings to not place your hope in the riches on this earth. so many places, the Bible warns against riches on earth that steals our hearts and distracts our souls from what actually matters in life. So however exalted in our world especially, however exalted the rich may appear in this world, James tells us that God sees it very differently. God sees it very differently. The ultimate use of resources that God has entrusted to wealthy believers is to steward their resources towards the kingdom of God. What we're learning here too in this text, the rich believer, the rich brother or sister has an unusual responsibility before God for generosity towards the kingdom of God. I'll say that again. The rich brother or sister in Christ has been given an unusual responsibility to steward the resources entrusted to them from God towards the kingdom of God. And this makes so much sense, right? Because as Jesus explains, where your treasure is, there will be your heart also, right? If you want to find your heart, find out what you treasure. Every single time, our heart is connected to that which we treasure in this life. Where your treasure is, there will be your heart. So God so often entrusts physical resources here on earth to hearts that are in love with Him, not hearts in love with the stuff, again, in this world. So the wealthy, rich believer, and by the way, just contextually, and what's important to say, relatively speaking, basically every single person in this room right now is exceedingly wealthy compared to history and the rest of this world. So before we start, you know, thinking of the people who have tens of millions and billions or whatever it is, just don't do that so quick. All of us, almost all of us in here, relatively speaking, should be classified in the area of wealthy brothers and sisters who have a responsibility of that which has been entrusted to them. And this is also why what happens is God will often entrust the most to those who will use it the best. Not always, but often.
Hey, Live in the Light listeners, listen, you've heard of Black Friday. You probably heard of Cyber Monday. But have you heard of Giving Tuesday? That's a time, again, for people who are fired up about ministries like Live in the Light to give on Tuesday, November 29th, to, again, ministries like ours to see the gospel continue to go forward and lives to be changed through the revelation of God's truth. Did you know that we are kept on the air on this station 100% by generous donors like yourselves? It's so true. We are dependent on you and the support and prayer, again, of our listeners to continue to see these messages go out, and we pray reach so many people again for the Lord Jesus Christ. And this year, we're excited to say we had a special donor step up, and they are willing, again, to match gifts up to $25,000. They're going to match, again, all donations up to that amount towards Living the Light in this giving season. So, hey, maybe right now you would consider being used of the Lord to see how you can be used to give generously to Live in the Light that will continue to reach people. Again, a donor is going to match up to $25,000. We're so thankful for that donor and thankful for you for considering being used in this way at this time to see light shine in the darkness and to see those again without hope to find the hope that is found in Jesus Christ. Bless you all for prayerfully considering such things.
That's all for today, listeners. Join us again next time here on Live in the Light.